All right, what's up, guys? It's Park with the Social Anxiety Remedy, and today is part two of making friends and building rapport and connections with people when you have social anxiety, okay? So if you haven't seen the part one that we did yesterday, make sure that you go back so that you know what we're kind of going over and what we're talking about. So in today, what we're really going to be learning is the five things that you can kind of finagle your way into a conversation with somebody that you're not that close with yet, and how that by knowing these things about this person that you're going to find out, you're going to be able to be closer to them than some of their closest friends already. Because like we're going to be going over in this study on these slides that you're going to see, we really don't know people as much as we'd like to. Okay, so we're going to really be able to build off of that and use that as a major advantage for us. Okay, so just going over what we went over yesterday within the four specific factors that help, you know, avoid resistance and create rapport. Okay, if you can start having shared goals with these individuals, okay, going out and having this shared goal, finding common enemies that you can kind of like build off of your hatred towards people. I know it sounds strange, but this is what, you know, some of the strongest bonds happen with. You know, when it comes to like politics or elections, like common enemies is something that people really bond off of. Shared experiences is probably one of the most powerful ones, because you're actually going out and doing something that's usually physical. And, you know, being able to experience a lot of your surroundings, as well as strong emotions, and like you kind of know from the story that I told yesterday. So that's just a quick recap. But what I want to get into right now is this case study and this example of a survey, or not a survey, but a study done at a university that basically had people make predictions about their friends' preferences. So if you've ever seen like those YouTube videos that are popular where it's like, my boyfriend guesses or like tries to tell me how much they know about me, whatever. This is kind of what that was with friends. Okay, so the first group that they studied was friends that had known each other for at least 10 years. Okay, and then the second group was friends that had known each other for only 2 years. Okay, so that's kind of how it was. And what they went about did is was trying to see if they knew the person as much as they really thought they would. So they asked, each person was asked before, you know, how accurate they think that they were going to be, like how accurate they were going to know each of their friends' answers. And every single person within the study said at least 60% accurate. Okay. No matter what, they said they would be at least 60% accurate. Okay. But what's funny is that the group that knew each other for 10 years, okay, the person that knew his friend for 10 years or her friend for 10 years, they were only 36% accurate. Only 36% accurate. What's even stranger is the second group was actually 42% accurate, and they had only known the people for 2 years, okay? So just try to think about that for a second. So in my opinion, the prediction of these people, I think they sucked, okay? Like if you really tune in and listen to people and really hear past their words and, you know, what they're saying, the things behind their words, you can learn so much. And so the results really spoke loudly about a deep human truth. And most of us, we tell ourselves that, you know, we mostly know people around us and the majority of the things that they do, what their interests are, who they are as a person. But the reality is we just don't, okay? And to me, that's excellent news. And so here's why. It means that there's never been a better time to really learn about our friends and our family and, you know, new strangers that we want to become friends and want to become a part of our lives and powerful connections and maybe business partnerships, relationships or whatnot, okay? It's never been an easier time to be able to do that and leverage one of our greatest gifts, okay? It's our ability to cultivate this curiosity. And cultivating curiosity, it's going to help build rapport, because people love when others are curious about them. Okay, we love it when people actually ask us questions about what we do and where we're going and, you know, what we're passionate about and what might be important to us, okay, whatever that may be. And almost everyone enjoys being in the spotlight, just as long as it's in a comfortable way, right? Just a controlled and very calm and comfortable way, and you're not just being, you know, thrown out in the middle of things. Cultivating curiosity, it's going to help build rapport, because people love when others are curious about them. Okay, we love it when people ask us questions about what we do and, you know, where we're going, what we're passionate about, and what's really important to us. And almost everyone enjoys being in the spotlight just as long as it's in a comfortable way. Okay, I have a friend who actually keeps this short list in his head. Okay, and when he meets someone new, he says that if he can walk away just from the first conversation, having learned these things up on here that we're gonna get into, that he can actually become as close to them as one of their closest friends, okay? And it's literally like in a matter of minutes. And it's not in an ingenuine way either. So he's personally, he's a really good businessman, a really good salesperson. And so what he does is he implements some of the things that we were talking about earlier yesterday, as far as like shared experiences and whatnot. But when you don't have that much time and you're just in a quick one-on-one setting with somebody with one conversation, if you can have these things that are on the slides, okay, I'm going to go over them right now. Know their main goal in life, okay? Know the thing that they fear the most. If you can know their greatest passion, if you can know the names of their family members, and if you guys can share at least one inside joke with them, okay, you are going to be as close, if not closer, than some of their closest friends in their life right now, okay? And that's because the majority of people, we really don't know this about our own friends, okay? You might think you do, but if you really listen, you're going to be able to hear their actual main goals and their actual passions and fears, because a lot of times they're hidden when you don't feel comfortable with another person. We're not able to allow other people to do so. Okay, and not really listen. So it's not in, like I said, like it's not in an ingenuine way at all, because he's not just trying to like push these phrases inside of a conversation. He's not going up to somebody immediately and being like, hey, what's your main goal in life? Hey, what's the thing that you fear the most? What's your passion? Blah, 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 right? He's able to just naturally flow the conversation like this. And when I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, he uses it for sales mostly, but you can really use this in conversations with, like I said, with trying to meet new people, because it's going to really put you as a person that, you know, other people can say, wow, you know, this person really listens. Wow, I really gave this person a lot of information that I usually don't. Why, I just trust this person. I really tell this person a lot of things. Okay, and when you're able to do that, it builds bonds so much quicker, and you're going to become somebody that people look at and it's like, wow, this is a really cool person. So you might be thinking like, how do I steer the conversation to talk about these questions, right, in a real natural way? Well, it can be pretty easy, okay? If you want to find out someone's passion, it's an easy transition that you can actually make inside of a conversation. Say you're having a conversation about basketball or something, okay? This is just a complete example. You can use it in any way, but this is really to show you a nice, easy transition and example that you can make. Well, you're talking about, you know, one of the best players in the NBA, right? Steph Curry. Okay, I don't know that much about basketball, right? This is just an example, but you can just say, you know what I love most about Steph Curry? I read that his workouts are actually just crazy. Like, he shoots 1,500 shots a day. Like, that dude is just so passionate about what he does. What about you? Have you ever had anything in your life that you were that passionate about? And the person that you're talking to, okay, they might even like take a step back first, because they've never actually had anyone show that kind of interest in them before. And after a second or two, they're going to see that your body language, right, it's not leaning in or seeking any kind of validation or approval. And then they're going to realize that this could be a great conversation, that I'm going to dive into this. And because of that, because you have a great body language and you have the social skills that a lot of them we've talked about already, the tonality, okay, the speed and the pitch of your voice and not leaning in, then it's really going to be a great conversation, okay? Because the number one thing, it's not, even though I'm talking about the short list that we're going over, the main thing is still body language and your vocal tonality. These are things that you can implement to like kind of just set the motion and get this wheel spinning. But if you're going in this in a way that's really needy and really trying to validate yourself and like you need to have a good conversation with this person or else, then it's not going to go well, okay? And so if you've seen some of the podcasts that I've done already on the body language, if you haven't, make sure you check that out. But if you really want to go in depth, then make sure you check out that webinar and that training that I just did. It's going to be linked in the description below. And we really go into a lot of the subcommunications and these small, minute details that you can start to implement right now in your body language, in your vocal tonality, that's going to have an extreme impact, and not just the way that other people view you, but also how you view yourself, how your own thoughts work, how your own emotions work as well. Okay, so that's going to be in the description below. But anyways, it's extremely easy to just steer this conversation in a way like that, where you find somebody's passion and you're able to dig deep on this list. Okay, let me go over it again just for the people that are listening on the podcast, because you don't have that much of a good example, right? You don't have these slides. It's talking about their main goal in life, okay, the thing that they fear most, their greatest passion, okay, the names of their family members, and then if you can share at least one inside joke with them. Okay, it's really important and it's really cool. So my favorite all-time question to ask people, seriously, you can never go wrong with this, is just simply, so what are you trying to do with your life? Okay, it's so simple and it really just cuts, you know, right to the heart of it. And if you can remember the acronym AAJ, okay, and it stands for aims, ambitions, and joys, then you're not going to go wrong, okay? If you can really start to talk to people about their aims, their ambitions, the things that they enjoy in life, a lot of their future pacing and whatnot, and, you know, future pacing of you inside of it. And remember, the most important thing as well is to make sure that you are fun, passionate, and carefree. Okay, that's, if you are fun, passionate, and carefree, you're going to end up making the conversation about people's aims, ambitions, and joys, and not the negative shit that goes on in life and being so negative in every way. People don't want to surround themselves with that. People want to surround themselves with other individuals who are fun, okay, who make the conversation fun, who make life fun, who make life interesting in their boring everyday lives that every single person is usually living. Fun, passionate, okay. We're talking about passions. We're talking about what you love to do and being extremely firm on that and that opinion of yourself and doing the things that you love, and also being carefree. And that really comes off from body language and your vocal tonality as well, right? Because if you go up to somebody and you just try to say, hey, man, so what are you doing with your life? Okay, I know it sounds kind of nice, right? But like we were talking about yesterday, It's being basically like a pushover, okay? If you could see my body language right now, I'm pretty closed off and I'm increasing that pitch at the end of my voice, right? Hey, what are you trying to do with your life? Hey, what's up? It comes off extremely needy, other than, hey, you have that positive body language, which you can learn from that webinar that I just talked about. Hey, so what are you doing with your life? Okay, it really makes it so that you're actually interested, you're not needy from them. And that's why it's so important to be carefree. And that's why I talk about being carefree so much, okay? And one of the problems that I just run into all the time is that people focus way too much on the verbal aspect of it when they're trying to build a rapport, okay? They might just like, they just forget about these nonverbal things, and it's unfortunate. But one of the things that you can actually do right now that's just pretty simple is you can start mirroring people, okay? You can start mirroring how their body language is towards you, okay? And by doing that, you have an immediate rapport, okay? You're not out of sync. It's kind of like if you were standing talking to somebody sitting down, like right in front of you, okay? It'd just be weird. The dynamics would be weird. You want to be level with people as well, and that's where that rapport comes in, okay? So right now, I'm going to get into the 5 rapport energizers, okay, that really build it extremely quickly so that you can start having these powerful connections with people. And sometimes you don't have, you know, a lot of time to just develop a relationship with someone, and you might only have a day or two or like a couple hours or a week or two. So you really have to accelerate the rate at which that rapport can grow. So to that end, what I have is these 5 different rapport energizers to really jumpstart that acceleration. So just keep in mind, don't use all 7 at the same time on a person, okay? That's going to be complete overkill. But make sure that you pick 1 or 2 that just work best in the given situation. Okay, so right now we're going to be going over confessions, sharing a secret, recognition, reciprocity, and breaking rapport. Okay, I'm going to go into a little story for each of them. Okay, so when it comes to confessions, so this one comes courtesy of Warren Buffett. So I'm sure you guys all have heard of Warren Buffett. Very quietly mastered rapport, okay? Every year, Warren Buffett, he writes a letter to all of the Berkshire Hathaway stockholders, kind of just detailing their previous year and their current state of the company and what lies ahead and blah, 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 blah. And every single stakeholder, they like really look forward to that letter because it's the one time of the year that they're going to get to hear from Buffett directly. So for the last several decades, what he's been doing is he's opened every letter with not an accomplishment or like a milestone, but a confession, okay? And Buffett confesses something that didn't actually go as planned for the business in the previous year, okay? He doesn't talk himself up or anything. So why would he do that? Okay, he's Warren Buffett, okay? He could brag about any number of accomplishments in any year of his life, probably. Okay, but by offering a confession, what he's doing is being honest. And when you read something like that, you think that he may be a really successful guy, okay, but he's also honest, okay? He admitted a mistake, and we all make mistakes, obviously. And making a confession to someone brings them closer to you and can often turn an adversary into an ally, okay? So if something has ever happened, this is something that I personally have to work on, okay? This is one of my confessions, I guess, is when somebody's really talking themselves up about all their accomplishments, I tend to be extremely skeptical, okay? And I tend to not end up liking the person if they're talking themselves up, even if I know they are pretty successful. But when somebody is somebody like Buffett or just anybody in a friend group that you know, and they can talk and not take life seriously and not brag about themselves and really be authentic, because every single person here, we all make mistakes, okay? And just like I'm detailing right now, that's one of my not just mistakes, but things that I need to really work on when it comes to judging others who kind of hype themselves up in that kind of aspect. So that's what I'm personally doing. But if you can start sharing these confessions with people, it's going to really lead to a lot of trust, and they're going to see that you're an actual authentic human being and you're not just going through the motions like a robot or something like that. Okay, the next one is sharing a secret. So I have a pretty cool story with this. Back in the 19th century, okay, Napoleon was really the face of power in France, okay? But it was his right-hand man, I think it was Maurice de Taillieu, who it doesn't really matter, okay, who proved the person that was invaluable, okay? So he was the expert conversationalist who could really get others to reveal their feelings and their ideas without even knowing it, okay? So if you've ever read The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene, you're going to kind of know this story. And he had one trick in particular that he used repeatedly to his benefit. So when he was in private with other, you know, foreign diplomats or high-ranking officials, not Napoleon, this Talleyrand, he would often blurt out what would appear to be a huge secret, okay? It was usually something that he actually made up, but he would pay attention to the other people's reactions, which would give him information. And the obvious benefit to that was that he could really gauge reactions. But then there was also a secondary benefit, okay, that you're going to be able to learn right now and you're going to be able to implement. Because people would end up feeling extremely compelled to share a secret with him as well. And so sharing secrets is an incredibly powerful way to build this rapport. So he was a politician, one that, you know, even his closest allies didn't trust. So I don't want you to go around lying to everyone that you meet just to learn all of their deepest secrets or anything like that. But just keep a few personal secrets about yourself at the ready for whenever you might need them. And this is why people bond so easily over gossip. Okay, this is why you absolutely, and everybody loves gossip and they love drama. It's these secrets. Okay, so I'm not telling you to go up to a random person, lie about a crazy secret just so that they can divulge their deepest wants to you, but have a few things that will make you, you know, your authentic self. Share a few, you know, embarrassing things if the topic arises, right? If you want to lead that conversation, you don't want to just be like, hey, you want to know a secret, right? It needs to be natural. It needs to flow. And when you're able to do that, you're going to learn other secrets from other people. And when a person knows that another individual has their secrets, there's a much tighter bond shared between the two people. Okay, so the next one is going to be recognition. Okay, so there's almost no better way than to really light someone up and truly make them want to respond to you than simply by recognizing them as a unique human being. And nobody does this anymore. It's a basic communication skill that was taught like 100 years ago, but it's almost extinct now, and you can really help to change that. So when you meet somebody, aside from just filing away all their, you know, their name and their face and making a mental note of that, you really want to make a mental note of one thing that's actually unique about them. So I try to do this personally, like when I meet someone, so that the next time when we see each other, I can ask them about that simple thing. So just doing that really illustrates to other people and the other person that they were memorable to you, okay, which is a really genuine way of recognizing them. And just imagine it, like you just met a person and then a week later they mentioned something about, hey, you're not wearing the cool shoes that you were wearing, blah, 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 blah. That's really going to feel extremely unique to you, and you're immediately going to have a bias towards trusting this person and really liking them, okay, especially when they do it in a non-needy way, but just a cool way, and so you feel a little bit special. Okay, the next one is reciprocity. Okay, so we do unto others, you know, what they do unto us, right? That's to us, right? That's like the common definition of reciprocity, right? And it goes for both positive and negative interactions. So if someone does a disservice to you or something, you're going to feel compelled to give them a taste of that disservice back, right? But if somebody does something, you know, uniquely kind for you, you're going to want to do the same exact thing for them, okay? So when you're using like a reciprocity to really energize and accelerate rapport, one of the most effective methods is gift giving. Okay, that is one of the most effective methods. And I don't mean just going down to like a local store and buying a Starbucks gift card with no emotion or like thought into it. Instead, combine recognition and the reciprocity. Okay, so the recognition that we talked about earlier and then the reciprocity. So an example that happened to this in my own life is a week ago, okay, was my birthday. And somebody that I actually don't know very well, it's in the middle of COVID right now, so I'm not really doing anything, but I, you know, got together with a small group of my friends, and there was somebody had made me a birthday cake, okay, and it was somebody that I actually didn't know that well or didn't particularly have any, you know, real fond experiences with, right, but we had actually gone camping in Big Sur the month before, and she had just remembered that I loved s'mores. Like I have an addiction to s'mores. Don't ask me why. But on this birthday cake that she had made me, she had literally put marshmallows that we could go out and like put on the campfire. And it was just like incredibly, because it wasn't a big deal. Like nobody really knows that about me, but she had just seen that and she had remembered that. And because she did that on my birthday cake, I really recognized it, this immediate flip of just really seeing this person in a new, extremely profound light. So by doing this, I know it might take a little bit more of time, but it can really lead to amazing connections with other people. And now, when I see this person, I'm trying to make this person's life easier. Because I feel like this person, you know, recognize me uniquely, right? So it's, if you can really put this into other people's lives and do this as like a weekly thing, you're gonna have a lot of people on your side and a lot of people wanting to, you know, make your life easier and just end up giving you things like that. This is how kind of real high status is created. Okay, and then the last thing right here is breaking rapport. Okay, so full disclosure, right, this last one is pretty advanced, right? You want to make yourself comfortable with the first ones that we've highlighted before you really get into this, especially if you don't have a real good solid base of social skills and, you know, your body language and your tonality and things of that nature, okay? But breaking rapport, at least the idea of it, is it seems counterintuitive, right? We're trying to get rapport. We're trying to make connections with others. Why is breaking rapport good? Well, we spent all this time focusing on it. Why does it need to break? Interestingly enough, it's actually the fastest way to build rapport with somebody. So breaking rapport is just simply teasing somebody or making fun of them in a really friendly way. Okay, it might seem like you're pushing them away, but when it's done in a real playful way, it's actually building this rapport. So think about, You know, everybody has friends like this, okay? And guys especially love to give each other shit. And girls do it too, okay? So think about your best friend, okay? Do you have inside jokes with them? Of course. Do you make fun of each other, but you have a good time doing it? Absolutely. Okay, so if you meet somebody brand new and in a matter of minutes, you're able to make fun of them in a really playful way, what happens is your sense of rapport with that person, it just immediately skyrockets because they're like, oh, I've known this person for a while. Like, this person's making fun of me like some of my best friends are doing. This person, we have an inside joke already, blah, 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 blah. So make sure you continue to go back to these other things like the inside jokes and like the other ones we talked about earlier to go about this in the best possible way. Okay, so that's for confessions, sharing a secret, recognition, reciprocity, and break rapport. So I hope you had got a lot of ideas when it came to that, okay? But coming to a close here, what I want you to remember, right, is AAJ, aims, ambitions, and joys, okay? Make sure that we're talking about aims, ambitions, and joys to other people, and we're not being so negative about just this random shit that goes on, and we really want to get to a profound level where we're able to be fun, passionate, and carefree. If you can remember that, then you're going to know to talk about aims, ambitions, and joys. It's just going to automatically fall in place. Okay, so practice makes perfect. You're not going to immediately be able to just ease these into conversations. You're probably going to have to watch this video a couple of times. And maybe even if you're watching on the podcast, go to the YouTube channel so you can see the slides. Maybe even take notes so that you can start implementing, because I promise you, if you can start implementing these into your conversations, things are going to change. Okay, you're going to start to see a lot of valuable things happening in your life. And most importantly, okay, most importantly, I know we just had a huge conversation on building this rapport with the words that you say, and kind of like in a strategic way that most people aren't going to tell you. They're just going to tell you to go out and go to a park and meet friends, or, you know, join a little group or whatever. You know, really want to focus on body language and vocal tonality, okay? That's what we really want to do. So if you're interested in learning really the basis of those social skills and how to start breaking the habit of being yourself, of who you are right now, okay, and become this new person who has these set of skills, okay, just completely revamps your life, then make sure you check out that training below. If anxiety is really hindering you in these social interactions. All right. So I hope you guys enjoyed this part 2, and I'll see you guys in the next video.